Welcome to Light Talk, a podcast series exclusively for members of the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Light Talk supports the mission of ASLMS, which is to promote excellence in patient care by advancing biomedical application of lasers and other energy-based technologies worldwide. We hope you enjoy this edition of Light Talk with our host, Dr. Utpal Patel.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have Dr. Hoffman here with us at the 2016 ASLMS annual meeting. You're well known for your tattoo removal by using lasers, as well as many cosmetic procedures, I'm sure using lots of lasers. Well, before we begin, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm a dermatologist coming from Western Germany. A western part of Germany is the so-called Ruhr area. So it's a very crowded area. Maybe a lot of people hearing this are familiar with Düsseldorf or Cologne. Mm-hmm. And yeah. My hometown, my home university is called Bochum. Mm-hmm. And this is a very huge university town. It's only 400,000 inhabitants, but wow. We have about 60,000 students.
That's quite big.
And the dermatological department I'm working in is compared to that what you do here in the United States or in other countries. Just if you're counting beds, are we huge? We have over 130 beds, only in dermatology plus phlebology. So that's only inpatients, and mm-hmm. we have huge outpatient centers as well. So from this point of view, it's a large dermatological department that I'm working in.
Okay, currently, you're seeing a lot of patients and treating a lot of tattoos specifically. When you go in and to see a patient with a tattoo, how do you approach the patient?
So I think we had the first tattoo removal laser 10, 15 years ago. We started with the old Alexandrit technologies, and then we was the first in Europe who got the PicoSure, so 755 nanometers Alexandrit. And then also was the first one who get the Cutera system with 1064, 532. This only brought us a lot of additional patients. We are in the further time we had the RevLight with 5 nanoseconds technology. So we move completely from the nanosecond technology now to picosecond technology. This gives us a lot of awareness in the tattoo community. And we got a good contact. And this is what I recommend to everybody who is interested in tattoos to try to get into contact with the tattoo artists themselves and with the ink producers themselves. Mm-hmm. You can learn a lot of what you have there. So it's if you would say tattoo is not a disease, mm-hmm. but if we treat a disease, we have to understand the disease first,
right,
before we treat something. And this is, I think, the main problem that a lot of people working in the laser business has. They do not understand the tattoo, the ink, how it is produced, mm-hmm. how it's brought into the body, how it reacts in the body. And if you understand all these things first, the laser removal is much easier, mm-hmm. and then to approach the patient and to make the patient understand what you're doing with him, how many sessions you will need, and why it might be in this special case take somewhat longer, or in other cases it's extremely fast. If you understand all these things, then you really can serve better for the patient.
Currently, what is the treatment of choice? You said that we've gone away from the nanotechnology to the pico technology, and is that true for all the colors, because that's always makes a difference in the type of ink, or are you still using certain lasers, perhaps maybe an older technology, to get the best results?
Well, the first picosecond technologies comes, there was called colorblind, which mm-hmm. is truly not true. Mm-hmm. So we still have difference how they act on different colors. So we know that, for example, the Alexandrit has a little gap in red, but you can treat red, mm-hmm. but it's not as perfect as it is with 532. So the perfect combination is something between 532, 1064, and 755 to have all of this,
right.
Because in depth penetration, the higher power of 1064, it needs sometimes, if you treat tram stamps or very deep implanted particles in the shoulder or so, mm-hmm. then you need the extremely high power. Not so extreme as parts of the industry try to make us doctors understand. I don't believe that you need 2 gigawatts or so, right. to treat such a tattoo particle. This is just an industrial gimmick. Nobody needs this.
Right.
That's like a weapon. Right. Yeah, this is, there is no need for this. And it makes also the treatment sometimes somewhat dangerous if you have so extremely high powers. I think the main thing that we have moved in the past was that we are now, the thermal damage that we cause is much lower than we did in the past. And if you look on the business, it's about 30 to 40%. It's not the complete removal of a tattoo. Mm-hmm. It's just a preparation for a so-called cover-up. No. And it's very easy to understand that the cover-up is easier to do on a skin that is not so much damaged, not with scars or with other problems. And then the Pico technology makes a big sense, because the thermal confinement that you have there, the cooking, right, is much less with the than with the nanosecond technology.
So that's a very interesting point, and I think that brings to how you approach a patient, in that you're telling them that often the endpoint is more so that you can cover the area better than the complete removal. And it's a good tip to kind of tell the patients so that they have a more realistic idea realistic expectations from the treatment.
Well, we have a lot of patients where we can really help and can completely remove it. That's not a rare case. So at least in 70-80% of the cases, we really can completely remove it. Sometimes we have to change the system, but the removal is really there. We can do so. We really can do this. And the patient that comes to us are, especially in Germany, they are somewhat concerned, because the authorities of the German government published a paper half a year or so ago about the old-fashioned ruby laser, how mm-hmm. it cooks the pigments in the depth, and you get very nasty cleavage products if you cook this tattoo ink in the depth. And this is also something that is very convincing to those patients, that if you do not apply so much heat on such particles, right, and you don't have this cleavage products and no carcinogen risk or other risks, right, this is also something that has been changed. So because the patient was anxious, it did not come,
right,
yeah, to get rid of the tattoo. And as we overcome these problems now with the picosecond technology, it's really easier also to explain things to the patient. And it's also untrue, which is also very often claimed, that the picosecond technology is so much more expensive than mm-hmm. the, let's say, the older nanosecond technology. If the patient pays for a session in the past 150 euros, right, and now he pays 400 or 500 euros per session, it's fair enough to say that over the thumb, we are threefold faster with the removal with the picosecond technology than right. with the nanosecond technology. So at the end of the day, the patient pays the same,
correct,
but get a better result and less side effects.
Right. And I think that's right. And I think that's important to emphasize that. So you mentioned that about 80% of the time we are about very successful or completely removing the tattoo. What makes what characteristics of a tattoo make it fall into the other 20% where you may not be able to get a complete removal with using the Pico technology?
Yeah, that's it's like a box of chocolate. You know this nice film. The problem is you never know what you get.
Right.
Yeah, that's you really never know what the tattoo artist did. In Europe, we have some certain rules. What is forbidden, not what is allowed.
Right.
But we have cadmium, mercury, and some other things are forbidden. So you don't have to pay respect to these things. But you never know how much ink was implanted, in which depth, and if you try to remove it, you would never know how the special individual works with it. So the biological response, the immune response is different.
Mm-hmm.
The lymphatic drainage is different in which layer the tattoo ink is. And also the chemistry of the tattoo ink is completely different.
Right.
What the most people don't think about is that the tattoo ink, so the color, never comes alone. It comes with shellac, with silica, with titanium dioxide as a binder,
mm-hmm.
and with a lot of other substances is also implanted together with the color itself, or with the carbon black. And also the carbon black is completely different in the sizes of the particle. So there is not that tattoo.
Right.
And if you do studies, and I see your studies also on the congresses with 30 to 40 patients at all, that's not enough. You need experience of hundreds of patients really to understand what you are treating and what's the best treatment for the patient. It's not as easy because tattoos are so different.
Right. I guess it goes back to your first point, really understanding the biological properties of the ink and how it was produced, what chemicals, what depth they're placed before you can make that decision. And that comes with experience with doing a lot of tattoo removal.
Exactly.
And I think, as you noted, the Pico technology has certainly taken us one step improvement toward over the nanotechnology. But how about in the next 5-10 years? Where do you see the technology going to even enhance the tattoo removal using energy-based device?
Well, that's a good question. So here at this Congress, there is additional wavelengths announced for all the existing lasers. So one company adds now 670, so Ruby laser in picosecond technology to their 1064 532. The people working with 7055 adds now 1064 as well as 532 to their system, so that we get more wavelengths on a single system. This is one of the development. I'm not so sure that the increase in peak power is really so helpful, mm-hmm. As some of the companies claims. It would be nice to have extremely short pulses, because in theory, just in physics, in theory, a femtosecond pulse, if right. it's with powerful enough, is really colorblind. Then it would be, just from the physical point of view, it would be colorblind. But you have to overcome them a lot of other physical problems like plasma formation and so on and so on. And we really do not know what is coming in the future, because these systems, as they are now, would be much more expensive than again.
Right.
And it's a good question whether the community, the tattoo community, is willing to pay for this. In Europe, we have certain patients, we make an urn survey, official one, with the government and the tattoo organizations. We know that in Germany, for example, about 10% of the population at least has a tattoo. Yeah. So with 17 million people in Germany over 16, 7 million people are tattooed.
Right.
The first thing that we can learn from this, there are no big health hazards from this tattoo.
Right.
The other thing is what we can learn, we have about 10% customers, let's say they're not patient customers, that come per year to change the tattoo. That's mm-hmm. a big market that is not taken by dermatologists or by doctors completely. There's also tattoo artists working in this field a little bit, and something is done with chemistry, sometimes causing very, very bad scars,
right?
Honestly. And so what really the future brings, I do not know, but what we have for sure, much more tattooed people in Europe. And we're making the same evolution that you have here in the United States with 25%
right.
of the population tattooed. And in Europe, we make exactly the same numbers within the next 10 years, I believe.
So, you know, yes, it's always hard to predict the future, but we do know one thing that's going is there's going to be an increased need for the use of energy-based devices for the treatment of tattoos. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And we look forward to learning more about the new technologies that come along the way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Light Talk, a podcast series from the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Visit aslms.org for updated podcast releases and current member information.